Thank you, Phil and Becky, for reminding us the power of the cross, the great cost that was paid for our forgiveness. Amen. Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Love to look at the whole chapter. There's so much here. There are great riches to be mined here. But for the sake of time this morning, we're just going to focus on two verses. While I say that, I realize it's in a larger context. There's so much more here, and I encourage you to study this passage. This morning, we're going to kind of narrow our focus in just on these two verses. Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. I'll read them aloud. You follow along as I read Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight or trickery of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Let's pray this morning and ask God to use the preaching of His Word. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it is true, that it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide even bone and marrow. It's able to cut us with precision where we need cut. We thank You that it is accurate, it's reliable, it's trustworthy, it's inspired, inerrant, given from God to men that we might know the mind of God, that we might know Your will, that we might be able to rest in secure knowledge of the truth. Help us today, Lord, not just to come as mere observers, but as participants of what You're trying to do through this text, that Your Holy Spirit would have liberty to speak to our hearts, and when He speaks, that we would respond with whatever it is You want us to do today. Lord, I yield to You as the preacher. We yield to You as hearers. May Your Word change us today. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Speaking the truth in love for growth. Is it possible to speak the truth and do it in the wrong way? You know, you've never made a cup of coffee that I actually enjoyed. You know, that's the 17th time this year you've forgotten to take out the trash. True statements, right? Both true. Speaking the truth in love for growth. That's what we want to look at this morning. There's so much in this passage, so many things that could be said. But I want to just really hone in on that phrase. Speaking the truth in love may grow. God's desire for us is that we grow, that we reach spiritual maturity. You look at the second half of that verse there, we see what our goal is. It's to be like the head, even Christ. All throughout Scripture, we're told that our goal is Jesus. We are to mature, to become like Him. That's where we're headed. Part of His plan, part of that growing up into looking like Jesus, is learning to speak the truth in love. And God says that is essential for us to reach that image, that mature image of Christ. So we see, first of all, this morning, let's look at verse 14 to start. We see the problem to be avoided. There's a problem, a pitfall here for us to avoid, and that is immaturity, immature wavering. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth, from now on, be no more children. The word there actually has the idea of infant, very young child. This is a young person, and what's being communicated there is instability. You keep reading, you see tossed to and fro, you see carried about with every wind of doctrine. Later it talks about trickery. Paul is using here the image of a child to convey to us, this is not what I want you to be. Well, what's so wrong about being a child? We have young people here today. Is God not pleased with children? No, Paul is making a contrast between children and adults. Well, what's the point of comparison? What's the difference between children and adults? Adults are taller, stronger, they know a little bit more, hopefully, right? Well, what's the point of comparison? Well, here, the imagery Paul is going for is the image of stability. If you've been around a toddler that's learning to walk, or starting to toddle, should we say a pre-toddler, they're pulling themselves up, they're balancing, and they're getting ready to take that first step. You can picture that, right? Imagine that one of their older siblings comes rushing by, maybe brushes up against them, or maybe doesn't even quite hit them. What's going to happen with that toddler there? What are they going to do? They're going to fall down. Why? Because they're not stable. Because they're not sure-footed. They're not yet sure of themselves, and kind of feels a lot better just to plop back down, right? You're a little shaky. You're not sure what's going to happen. You might not even hit that young person. You might just come by, do something quick, and they're going to fall. Because they're not stable. They don't have surety. They're not firm, firmly grounded. The image here is speaking to us, saying, don't be like children when it comes to your spiritual stability. How hard is it not to knock down a child who's learning to walk? Not hard at all. Paul says, don't be like that spiritually, that any little thing is going to knock you over. He continues the imagery, and he shifts to the image of boats, of floating, of the sea. Look there in verse 14. He then says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, over the last year or two, my family, we've gotten a little more interested in things that have to do with water. Our kids have gotten a little older, and they've learned how to swim a little, and we've enjoyed different things. We've been with people who have boats. You get out into the water, it's really nice. So we got this little inflatable kayak. It's the cheapest way to get out in the water, right? It's pretty affordable. You just get this inflatable kayak, you blow it up, you can take it out, you can put it in the water. Now, we've gone on some pretty lazy, slow rivers. That's nice. Okay, you get out there, you can paddle around. Well, we got the bright idea. We're going to go to Harrison Bay, okay? And maybe you can see where this is going. We pumped up that inflatable kayak. All three of us are in it. We're pretty good ballast, right? We're going to weigh that thing down. We've got our paddles. We're ready to go. We get out into Harrison Bay. You know what happened? You think we went where we wanted to go? No. Harrison Bay told us where we were going to go. The wind, the waves, they said, no, you're going this way. Didn't work out so well. Our little inflatable kayak, we found out that it's not very heavy. It's not very able to navigate. You know what it is? Look there at verse 14. It's tossed to and fro. It's carried about with every wind. It's unstable. It's not easy to manage. Now, that's okay for an inflatable kayak. That's not okay for a Christian. Paul says, don't be this way. And God the Spirit, through Paul, is telling us, don't be like this. Don't be like those little children that can be just knocked down. Don't be like that watercraft that just goes whatever way the winds and the waves go. No. Because that's not spiritual stability. God desires for you, God desires for me, spiritual stability. He wants us to be grounded in truth. If we're not grounded in God's truth, then we have no stability. The storms of false teaching, when they come, they will knock us about if we aren't anchored to something steadfast. Think about when a big storm is coming. After the big storm we had come through here a while back, next time you hear a big storm is coming, you might do this. You might go out, you might find those things in your yard that aren't anchored down. Maybe that furniture, maybe those items that are loose. And what are you going to do? You're going to put them away, or you're going to strap them down, right? Because you don't want them to blow away. They need to be anchored. They need to be connected to something that's firm, that's stable, that will not move. And God is saying here, Christian, you need to be anchored to something firm, stable, that will not move. And that is God's truth. You need to not be so easy to carry away. We need people to be stable, to be anchored, so that when the storms of life come, they won't blow away. We need to prepare them for the storm. Now, in my household, just recently we had a big accomplishment. My daughter came and told me, she said, now everybody in our house is free from training wheels. We're all out. We're all out of training wheels. Pretty exciting day. Why do we use training wheels? What is the purpose? To help learn stability, right? You don't give training wheels to that child. Say, here you go, the rest of your life, you're good to go. Hope you get used to them. No, we give training wheels hopefully so that someone can learn to balance to where eventually we can take the training wheels off. Once they've learned balance. Once they've learned to stay up on their own. As believers, we're happy to provide that protection, those spiritual training wheels to help those who are learning. That's part of what we do, is give instruction to help prepare people, to help stand them up, to make them steady. As we instruct all of us, our goal is to not make people fall, to make them stand. But we need to grow beyond spiritual training wheels. We need to go beyond someone else holding us up, someone else hanging on to us. Our faith needs to be fixed to something that is secure, something that the storm of life will not pull away and cause us to be like that child who's easily knocked over, to not be like that inflatable kayak that will go wherever. There's a problem to be avoided, and that's immaturity. One of our purposes is to help prepare believers to face error and false doctrine and to not be deceived by it, to not be moved by it, but instead to be able to identify it and refute it. A healthy church has doctrinal discernment. We live in a world and a culture where truth is under attack. Where truth has become whatever you want it to be. It's become your truth. And we need a body of believers. We need individuals, moms and dads, young people, who are grounded in the truth that will not be moved when the storm comes. So what is the cure? How do we achieve that stability? How do we avoid this problem of immaturity? Well, secondly, we're going to look here at the path to be pursued. The path to be pursued. And that path is Christian maturity. How do we get there? How do we get to where the image of Christ is formed fully in us? Well, look in the very next verse. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him. In all things, which is the head, even Christ. The first part of this path has to be speak the truth. Speak the truth. If we're going to fit the head, which is Christ, if we're going to attain our goal, then we need to speak the truth in love. We look at that verse, the word there. Speaking the truth is actually, it comes from one word in the original. And we don't have an exact word for that in English. So we have the phrase speaking the truth. But in the original, the word is actually, you could say it, truthing. Okay? We don't use truth as a verb. But if we did, we could say go out in truth or truthing, the way you live. That your life is characterized by truth. The way you act, the way you speak, it's all tied up with an essential action of truth. Truth is something that's being lived out. It's not something passive. So Paul is actually saying, go out and truth. Well, we don't really do that. So we have there the main thrust of it is speaking the truth. But it has also the idea of living the truth. And let me ask you this morning, which is more important, speaking the truth or living the truth? Speaking the truth or living the truth? Which one is more important? All right, some of y'all have given your... It's kind of a trick question, because to me, I think both. Okay, is it important to live the truth? Absolutely. Is it okay to just speak the truth and not back it up? No. But is it okay just to live the truth and not speak it? I don't think so. I think the truth that we live has to come out in words. And we'll come to later why it has to come out. I've heard this expression, maybe you have heard something along the lines of it, and I kind of agree with it and I kind of disagree with it. The expression I've heard goes kind of like this. Share the gospel all the time. Use words when necessary. Anybody heard that expression? You're familiar with it or something kind of like that? Okay. Now, there's part of me I agree with. Share the gospel all the time. Use words when necessary. It's getting there to that first truth that we have to live the truth, right? We can't just speak it. But I kind of disagree with it because use words when necessary. Well, when are words not necessary to give the gospel? Sure, we should show, we should be truthing everywhere we go. We should be demonstrating God's truth. But words are necessary. How else is someone going to know that Jesus died, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, that He's now ascended, He's at the Father's right hand? How are they going to know that His blood was a sufficient atonement for the sin of mankind? How else are they going to know about God who is holy and rejects sin, a God who will allow no sin in His presence? How are they going to know all these truths if we don't speak them? After all, it's the preaching of the cross. How are they going to know except by the foolishness of preaching? So we have to do both. We don't have a choice. We need to both live the truth and speak the truth. Without those two, we haven't completely truthed, to put it the way Paul is saying. So Paul says truthing or speaking the truth. I want to address this morning under this point, as we look at speaking the truth, I want to address three areas that we need to speak the truth, three arenas of our life in which we need to give the truth. We need to speak truth to our world. We need to speak truth to each other. We need to speak truth to ourselves. First of all, we need to speak truth to our world. Our role here, our job, is to represent Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Let me say that again. He is the truth. He's not a truth. He's not a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John 14:6. He is the truth. We are to represent Him. There's not many truths. There's not your truth and my truth. There is the truth. And notice, we need to speak the truth. Not my opinion. Not what I think. There's a difference between telling you God's truth and what I think about it. My opinion may be worth something, it may be worth nothing. But my opinion doesn't help this world. I got lots of opinions. Some of you, you know what I mean. You all got opinions too. We have things that we think about or that we feel strongly about. But that's not what God's Word says. It doesn't say speak your opinion, speak what you think. It says speak the truth. How do we do that? How do I transition from speaking what I think to speaking God's truth? Well, just logically, in order for it to come out of you, first it needs to be what? In you. How do you get God's Word in you? Do you get God's Word in you? If you're going to speak the truth, guess what? You need to have the truth in you. Because if not, what you're speaking probably isn't the truth. What we need to do is get God's truth to be so ingrained, so a part of who we are, of the way we think, that eventually it's going to come out in the way we talk. And that does not happen by accident. We don't just suddenly, by osmosis, begin speaking God's truth. How are we doing with getting the truth into us? We live in an information age. Our world is promoting their truth. Everywhere you look, everything you interact with, the world is pushing a message. We need to counteract that message with the truth, and that truth needs to get inside of me, and it needs to get inside of you, or we can't speak that truth. We won't know what to speak. John 17:7, Jesus, in His high priestly prayer, 17 verse 17, excuse me, He says, as He's praying for us, He says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth." And it's God's word that is going to get the truth in us. This is the truth that the world needs. Not me and my opinions. God's truth. We have the obligation of sharing that truth. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but many of you are familiar in Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse 6. God makes a warning to Israel's leader. He calls them watchmen. He talks about a watchman that's been put up as a sentry, watching for trouble, watching for the enemy coming. And that watchman is given a responsibility that when he sees the danger coming, he needs to warn. He needs to pass on what he's seen. He needs to accurately reflect the danger that's coming. If not, he would have blood on his hands. We today are watchmen. We are to reflect the truth that we see. If you're around someone who cannot see, and you're helping them, you need to tell them the truth, right? So that they know what's coming. What obstacles, what dangers. We live in a world that is blinded by Satan, by the error, by the falsehood, by the false doctrine that is everywhere. We need to speak the truth to warn. The problem is, speaking the truth in love has become a foreign, novel concept in the world we live in. In today's culture, you usually find one of two extremes. On the one hand, way over here, you have people who won't say what's actually true because they're afraid it might upset someone, it might harm their relationship. Okay, so you have people who won't speak the truth. Then over here, you have people who will loudly, harshly, and aggressively speak their truth, usually in order to attack, in order to cause harm, in order to get back, to get even. So over here we have love and no truth. Well, supposedly love. Over here we have truth and no love. And yet that's not God's idea at all. We are to speak the truth graciously. According to Colossians 4, verse 6, it's to be pleasing. It's to be acceptable. It's to be well-seasoned, well-flavored. The truth is not a battering ram. It's not a stick that we use to hit people with. Nor are we to be so afraid of the truth that we have to wrap it in bubble wrap lest it hurts someone. Our world wants us to affirm their truth. But we need to speak the truth. Not your truth, not my truth, the truth as found in God's Word. This is the truth that sets free. So first of all, we need to speak truth to our world. Our world desperately needs the truth. It's not enough just to live it. We need to speak it as well. Secondly, we need to speak truth one to another. We need to speak truth to each other. As I was looking at this word there, the truthing, that root word there, I found a definition that I think is helpful. It includes spirit-led confrontation where it is vital to tell the truth so that others can live in God's reality rather than in personal illusion. It is truth in contrast to error, helping other people to live in God's reality rather than in personal illusion. Something that sprung up in the last 5 years. Some of you have seen these VR headsets. You ever seen somebody wearing one of those? Sometimes there'll be viral videos of somebody was wearing one of those VR headsets and what happened to them. Because they're watching what's happening on the screen and they're responding to it. And they might be walking around the house. They run into walls or they trip and they fall down. Why? Because they're looking at something that doesn't correspond to reality, right? They've got a different reality that's being projected in front of them. You watch them, they're swinging around and they're moving, they're screaming, they're dodging. It looks funny because what they're seeing is not actual reality. It's an illusion. And yet spiritually, we are oftentimes blinded. We're not living in the real world. What we think we're seeing is not actually reality. We need to speak truth to each other because of sin's tendency to blind. And sin blinds lost people, for sure. They live in deception. They don't see clearly of Christ and His salvation, but sin blinds believers as well. And so God has given us this job to speak the truth to one another. Found a quote here that I thought was helpful. Beecher says, "It is one of the severest tests of friendship to tell your friend his faults. Now, if you are angry with a man or hate him, it is not hard to go to him and to stab him with words. But to so love a man that you cannot bear to see the stain of sin upon him and to speak painful truth through loving words, that is friendship." Hard to do. But if we're going to walk in truth, we need to speak the truth one to another. The New Testament is full of examples, of commendations. In fact, you look at the one another's of the New Testament, what do most of them involve? Not all, but most of them involve what? What? What is it? Speaking. How do we one another? How do we interact with one another? How do we help one another? Most of it is by speaking. Now, there's some things that happen just through living, right? And that's powerful. But our speech is part of how we one another. And if we don't speak truth to one another, then we're neglecting a large part of the ministry that God wants His children to have one to another. Let's talk about this for a moment. What are the means in which we can be changed into Christ's likeness? There's a couple means. We could think, first of all, God's Word, right? God's Word helps change us to become more like Christ. Secondly, we have God's Spirit, right? That works in us and helps change us through the Word. And then the third prong, so God's Word, God's Spirit, and then we have God's people. God's people speaking to yourself, speaking to one another, speaking the truth in love. One of the means that God uses to make us more like Jesus is speaking one to another. Now, I have to admit, this is hard. You know why it's hard? It's because we're proud. I don't like speaking the truth because you might not like to hear it. And I don't like speaking the truth because you might reject it. You might start arguing with me. The thing that gets in the way of speaking the truth one to another is our pride. We don't want to have to address things. We don't want to have people address things in us. You stay over there, I'll stay over here. I got my problems, you got your problems. Let's just kind of leave it at that. But that's not an option for the believer who wants to see people become like Jesus. We have to speak truth one to another. If we don't, we're removing one of the ways that God wants to grow us. Often we hide behind this excuse that we don't want to hurt someone. But I would encourage you to look down 10 verses, go from verse 15 all the way down to verse 25 in Ephesians 4. It says there, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Okay, don't lie, tell the truth. Why? What's the reason the Apostle Paul gives there? He says, "For we are members one of another." Stop lying, instead speak truth. Why? Because we're all part of each other. We're all connected. You ever been really mad? And so you hit something, you kick something, you punch something. Does that really help? What happens now? Instead of just being mad, now you're hurting, right? Didn't really solve the problem. You don't want to hurt your own self. It doesn't make things better. Paul says if we don't speak the truth, you know what we're doing? We're hurting each other. The excuse behind is, oh, I don't want to speak the truth to them because it might hurt them. No. Paul says if you don't speak the truth, that's when you're actually hurting them. We are members one of another. Don't hurt the body by refusing to speak the truth. But it sounds so spiritual. Oh, it might hurt them. So I don't want to speak the truth. Here's a common expression. The truth hurts. Ever heard that? Have you said the truth hurts? Now, is it true that the truth hurts? I would say yes. Often it does. But you know what else hurts? Being lied to. Not being told the truth. In the long run, that hurts worse. Yeah, hearing the truth can hurt. But I've made the decision, I'd rather hear the truth than have somebody lie to me. Anybody like to be lied to? Maybe in those little areas, right? Tell those little white lies, make me feel better about myself. The truth may hurt, but I'd rather know than walk in ignorance. If I'm blind, I'd rather know what's in my path than you lie to me to try to help me feel better. If you go into the doctor tomorrow and you get a physical, you get a full checkup, and they see something and they go and they run tests and they run some scans and you're getting a little nervous. The doctor sees you're getting nervous. And so when you come in for the follow-up, the doctor says, you know what, I just want you to know you have a clean bill of health. And the attendant there says, the doctor, that's not it at all. Why'd you say that? Well, you know, they looked so nervous, they looked upset, they looked like they might be angry. I mean, telling someone they have cancer, it's a big deal, it's life-changing, they look so happy and healthy, I don't want to do that to them. You'd be furious, right? No, tell me the truth. Tell me what's actually happening. You take your car to the mechanic, there's a knocking noise. Do you want them just to say, oh, it's fine, don't worry about it, you're good? I won't tell them their fuel lines are leaking, you know, they're about to blow it. No, that might ruin their day. No, you want to know the truth. Somebody hacks into your bank account. You see some strange transactions, you call your bank, they say, no, everything's fine. We didn't want to stress out your day. I mean, knowing somebody's done that, messed up all your info, that'd kind of make you upset. In life, in those scenarios, we want to know the truth, right? Because we want to be able to act in accordance with the truth. We want to be able to deal with the situation no matter what the truth is. But yet we hide behind that excuse saying, I can't tell them the truth. And that might make them mad. They might not like it. They might not like me. You know what it really comes down to? It doesn't come down that I love you so much I can't tell you the truth. You know what it is? I love me so much. I want you to like me. I want to have no conflict. I want you to think well of me. So it isn't that I love you, it's that I love me. And we call it love for others. But true love does what's in the interest of others. And we'll get to that in a moment. But we need to speak the truth one to another. We sometimes, in the flesh, would rather be lied to. We'd rather hear those pleasing words. But that cannot be the case. As God's children, as those who are committed to the truth, we must be able to handle the truth. We cannot live in deception, in lies, in half-truths, living in an illusion so that we feel better about ourselves. So we need to speak the truth to our world. We need to speak the truth to one another. We need to speak the truth to ourselves. We need to realize that we are easily self-deceived. How many of you have ever seen someone who is self-deceived? Can I see your hand? You've seen someone, they believe something that was not true. They bought into it. They kind of believe their own little logic. Okay. We can see that other people are self-deceived, right? But you know who's not self-deceived? Me. I'm not self-deceived. I mean, what I tell myself, that's true. Because I told it to myself and I like me. You know, I'm the greatest person I know. And what I say about myself, what I tell myself, that's true. All those other people, they're easily self-deceived. The insidious danger of self-deception is that we don't realize we're being self-deceived. See that there? We get so self-deceived that we don't know we're deceiving ourselves. So we need to speak the truth to ourselves. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" God must have been talking about your heart, because He certainly wasn't talking about mine. I mean, you need somebody to speak truth to you, but not me. You know, I got it figured out. "But my heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I can't trust myself. I can't believe the things I tell myself. So you know what that means? We need to allow people to speak the truth to us. I need to speak the truth to myself, but I need to be humble enough to allow other people to speak the truth to me, because I have to realize I can deceive myself. I can be living in a false reality. And people may be looking at me and saying, "That guy, he doesn't see it at all. He's got that VR headset on. He's stumbling around. He thinks he's got it." But that's not reality. And God wants us to speak truth to ourselves and also allow other people into our lives so that they can deal with those things. You know what gets in the way? It's the same thing again. It's pride. It's the same thing that causes me not to want to speak the truth to you. The same thing that causes me to not want you to speak the truth to me, because I don't want to have to deal with it. I like the way I am. You stay over there, I'll stay over here, we'll be good. God loves everybody after all. But God doesn't love my sin. God doesn't love self-deception. God loves truth. And I have to be humble enough to say, God, I know I'm able to be deceived. I need people who can speak the truth to me. I'm so thankful for family members, for a pastor, for friends who have spoken the truth to me. And I invite that. Because you know the biggest self-deceived person in this whole church is? It's me. Now, I don't believe that. I'll say that, but I don't believe it. I like to think pretty good guy. But all of us, we are. Our heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And so we need those friends. God to give us those friends who will speak the truth to us. We're easily deceived. Satan lies to us. He's a deceiver. There's no truth in him. He's the father of lies. We know not to listen to him. But we also lie to ourselves. We have an enemy within. We need to watch for that. Requires humility. Do you allow those kinds of truth tellers in your life? Maybe you've pushed them away. You know, none of us likes to speak truth to somebody who doesn't want to hear it. You with me? You try to talk to somebody and they just push you away and you say, I think I'm just going to let them be. They don't want to hear it. That's hard. Face rejection when you're actually trying to help someone and they push you away. Requires a humility, a getting on my face before God and saying, God, show me how wicked I am. God, show me how small and insufficient I am. Show me how much I'm not like Christ yet. I need people to speak truth in my life because I want to look like Jesus. And if I cut off those people who want to speak truth to me, you know what's not going to happen? I'm not going to look like Jesus. It's not a self-flagellating thing like, oh, woe is me, I'm just the worst. Everybody just pile on, let me know how terrible. No! I want to look like Christ. And if I'm going to get there, part of the way to grow up into the image of Christ is to speak truth and allow people to speak truth to me because I need it and you need it. And we need to be a community of truth tellers. But it can't just be truth. The Bible doesn't stop there. The second thing, the second element we see is in love. Say that with me. In love. Now you look at that word there. Many of you be familiar with this word. You've probably heard it explained before. Agape love, right? A certain kind of self-sacrificial, giving love. Not a taking love. This is not love that's about me and my enjoyment or the gain that I get from it. This is love that has the other's best interest in mind. One author says it this way. It's unconditional, sacrificial love, not based on our feelings toward the object of our love, but empowered by the Spirit for someone else's benefit. Our speech has to be motivated by love. It has to be bathed in love, wrapped in love. Love is the way that we truth. We're going around truthing and we're truthing in love. It's the characteristic that shows as we're truthing. It's the aroma that rubs off is love. As we're going around truthing, love is being displayed. At the heart of how we help one another is how we speak to one another. And it has to be in love. Colossians 4:6 says our speech is to be seasoned, tempered, flavored with grace. Listen to what Ephesians 4:29 says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now you see, first of all, a negative, right? You can't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. That's what we're not to do. But God doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say, don't speak corrupt speech. He goes on to challenge us on what we do speak. He says, let it be good. Is everything we speak good? He says, let it be used for edifying, building up. We cannot use our speech just to tear down. And oh man, is it easy to do. You don't even have to try sometimes. It just comes out. So it needs to be good. It needs to build up. And thirdly, It needs to minister grace. What does that mean? Well, what's grace? It's divine help, divine enablement. God giving me help to do something that I don't have. So if my speech is to minister grace, you know what my speech is supposed to do? It's supposed to help you. What's it supposed to help you do? Back up to edifying. It's supposed to build you up. Build you up to what? To look like Christ. The responsibility I have for my speech is it needs to help you look more like Jesus. How am I going to accomplish that? If my truth is combined with love, my speech needs to be in love. It's motivated by love. My motivation has to be, I want you to look like Christ. My motivation can't be, I want to put you in your place. I want to show you how much more I know. My motive has to be that you're going to look more like Jesus. Now, our motivation has to be love. What I say might be true, and maybe they even need to hear it, but if it doesn't minister grace, if it doesn't help them, then I haven't met up to God's standard. Doing it in love may still hurt. I can't help that. You understand that? You may try your hardest. You may have done everything you can with God's help to speak in love, speak the truth to someone, and still they reject it, right? That can happen. But you're responsible for your part. Your communication is what you're responsible for. You're not responsible for their part. Doing it in love may still hurt. I can't help that. But if I don't do it in love, then I haven't obeyed God. We come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Paul talks about all the great things that he could do for God. Offering worship, even giving himself as an offering to be burned. All of it, if it is not motivated by, wrapped in, flavored with love, it is what? Worthless. It's nothing. The greatest speech I make, if it's not flavored by, wrapped in, characterized by love, it doesn't accomplish God's purposes. So if we don't use love when we speak the truth, we're probably not going to have a receptive audience. People aren't going to want to hear us. Truth is what we need, but love is what makes us willing to listen. Think about that person that you're willing to listen to. Maybe it's a mom. Probably a good chance it's grandma, right? Grandmas, usually when they speak to you, you're kind of excited to hear because you know for sure grandma loves you. Everything she says, you know it's going to be wrapped in love. And that's the kind of people we like to listen to, are the people who we know for sure, this person has my best interests at heart. They want what's best for me. They are motivated by love. We need to love enough in order to speak the truth, but we need to be loving in the way we speak the truth. If the way we speak truth does not communicate love, then we have failed in meeting God's standard. Truth and love are supposed to be married together. They are to be inseparable. They are to be always together. Truth and love. We can't just pick one. Think of it as a road, a country road. Okay, maybe one of the ones around here. And big ditches on either side. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You got to stay on the road, right? Because if you go this side, you're going to fall in a ditch. You go this side, you're going to fall in a ditch. That's what speaking the truth in love is like. You can't just go to one side. You got to stay with together. You got to keep them balanced. Because here's the problem. Two pitfalls to avoid. So over here, you have truth without love. And truth without love, we just saw, it doesn't communicate grace. It's not Christ-like. Nobody's going to listen to you. People are just going to want to get away from you. So you can't have truth without love. Then over here is the other ditch you got to stay out of. And that's love without truth. With a little asterisk. Because is there really love without truth? You say, oh, I just love you and so I won't tell you the truth. No. That's self-love. That's manipulation. That's trying to get you to like me not on the basis of truth. And that's wrong. So there's truth without love, love without truth. In the middle, you have truth and love. the truth of God with the love of God so that lives can be changed to the glory of God. That is what our goal is. We have to keep them together. We cannot separate them. If we're to grow and change, to become all that God wants us to be, we need to be willing to speak the truth and to receive the truth, and we need to do it in love. This is the way that God has chosen to help us grow. We balance truth and love, not choosing one or the other. We don't need to shield people from the truth. We cannot shy away from the truth, no matter how difficult it may be. Here's how Warren Wiersbe says it. He said it, "Truth without love is brutality, but love without truth is hypocrisy." We need to speak the truth. That's right doctrine. We need to do it in love. That's the right spirit, the right motivation. We need to bring them together and keep them together to have truth and love joined at the hip. You cannot separate them without serious consequences. So we've seen today the problem, spiritual immaturity. The path to be pursued is Christian maturity. We do it by speaking the truth. We do it by doing it in love. And then thirdly, the purpose of all this. What is the purpose of speaking the truth in love? Well, it's there in our text. May grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ-likeness. That is the purpose. That's the point of all our effort to speak the truth in love. Be honest, it's not easy. You don't just do this because you like to do it. Some of us, we trend over here to the I want to love and not speak. And some of us trend over here to the I want to speak. I'm not necessarily worried with love, right? We've got both tendencies. It's hard to be in the middle where you're motivated by the truth, but you're motivated by love. To marry those together. That's not something that just comes naturally. We don't just do this because we like to. We do it because of the end goal. Because we want to present everyone perfect in Christ. I think of it this way. Imagine after that big storm we had. Let's say we're told we have another storm coming and we have flooding this time. There's going to be a lot of rain. In fact, we need to come out here. We need to build up a little sandbag wall. A little retaining wall, you know, to kind of try to hold off things, make a little levee. And we've got all these sandbags. They're all piled up there. And we're all up there working, and I see you over there, and I'm over here. And I go and I grab a whole bunch of sandbags, right? And I pile them up, and I do one, I do two, I do three. I go all the way up to 14 sandbags high, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself, right? I'm protected. Look at me. I've got all that water is going to be held out. I look over there, and you've only got one. I'm like, poor you. Water's going to come in on you, but not me. I got my 14 sandbags right here. That how it works? What do we need to do? We need to build it all up evenly, right? We need to build it up together. And I think of that as a picture of the Christian life. I don't just look and say, well, I'm doing okay. I'm fine. Oh, you over there, you're hurting, but boy, am I glad that's not me. Your life doesn't affect mine, though. I'm good. No! What is the goal? That some of us may grow up to be like Christ? Is that it? That a couple super spiritual ones, they grow up to be like Christ? No. What's the goal? That we what? We all get like that. We all look like Jesus. Is God going to be pleased if He comes back? You know, hopefully the pastors, right? They're looking like Jesus. Hopefully at least the Sunday school teachers, you know, they're looking like Jesus, but nobody else is. That's not the goal. Our spiritual life is individual. We individually respond to God, and yet it's communal. There's a one another aspect that we have a responsibility, we have an obligation, that we all need to look like Him. That we want to help each other. It's not just enough to say, well, I've edified myself, you know, I've grown up and I understand the truth about God and I'm firmly grounded doctrinally, and y'all just figure it out. No. We are concerned for those that God has placed around us. That we are building them up. And how do we build them up? Look at the beginning of verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. This is how we grow people up into the image of Jesus. That's our purpose. That's why God has left us here on the earth. He could, at salvation, just take us out, right? Be instantaneous rapture, be removed from this world of sin. Now you know Christ, you have an eternal home in heaven, you're gone. But God doesn't do that. Why? Because there's a role we play in the lives of others, that we help them become like Jesus. The Christian life is not to be lived selfishly. It's not to be lived self-centered. It's not to be lived as if I am an island. God wants us to speak the truth lovingly into someone's life to help them grow. Truth plus love should equal growth. I hope today you have people in your life who love you enough to tell you the truth. I hope you do. You may not like it. You may not want to hear it. But we all need it. Maybe there's a conversation you need to have today with someone who the Lord wants you to speak the truth to. Maybe there's a difficult conversation that you need to wrap in love, wrap in prayer, and speak the truth. Maybe there's someone you need to go to today and apologize. Say, look, you know, I heard what you said. I didn't like it. But I realized you were trying to speak the truth to me, and I need to be willing to hear it. Maybe there's someone you need to grant permission to speak truth into your life. Maybe there's someone who's tried in the past, and you've resisted, and now they don't try anymore. You know what I know they would love? They would love for you to come to them and say, you know what, God's spoken to my heart. God's convicted me that I'm wrong to be stubborn. I'm wrong to be proud. Would you please tell me when I'm wrong? Defensiveness has no place in the life of a Christian who wants to be like Jesus. Defensiveness has no place in the life of a believer, of one who wants to grow, who wants to change, who still realizes, I haven't made it yet, but I want to. And one of the ways that God gives grace to me, of course, is through His Word, it's through His Spirit, but it's also through His people. And if I cut off one of those sources of grace, then I'm in trouble. Maybe you need to go to that person and say, would you please speak truth into my life? One of the most dangerous places you can be in as a believer is when no one has any right to say anything to you. When you are the beginning and the end of all knowledge, and no one has the right or even the opportunity to say anything to you. Now, there can be people who are wrong. I'm not denying that. It doesn't mean you accept everything someone says as truth. But is your heart open? Are you defensive? Or is there an openness to say, God, please, would you show me? Show me that which I don't see. Reveal my blind spots to me. Use other people to minister to me, to help me. Because we all should be trying to help each other, build each other up. None of us are so strong that we don't need the body of Christ speaking the truth to us. Not me, not you, not anyone. Maybe today you're being convicted in a different area. Maybe God's pointed out something in your life. Maybe speaking the truth is your strength. Maybe you're really good at it. Maybe you regularly and persistently tell others what they need to hear. Maybe you got the truth part. Maybe you didn't get the in love part. Remember, these are twins. They belong together. One without the other is not good enough. Maybe there's a conversation you need to have today. Look, I wanted to let you know, I was talking to you that time, I was trying to tell you something for your own good, but I didn't do it in love. I allowed my flesh, I allowed my anger, I allowed my impatience to shine through, and I was trying to accomplish my will and not God's will. Can you forgive me? I want to speak the truth. I want to do it in love. In God's plan, when we marry those two together, when we take the truth of God and the love of God, then lives will be changed to the glory of God. That's what we're all here for. That's what we all want to work together. God's given us this tool. Let's use it. Would you stand with me, please, this morning?